Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome. And unlock at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a quick moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, y'all, we will be joined by a very special guest from the Association of Independent Woodworkers, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kent and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kent?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. How are things going in your part of the world today?
Well, they are going much, much better, ma'am. Much, much better. I'm back online. My computer is having a little challenges right now, but I'm back online. And I want to give a big shout-out to you, Miss Count, Nagashiva, Conjurman Ali, especially Papa Newt, my BFF at papanewt.com, for filling in for me so many times in the last 6 months, and to the whole magical community, our friends and family, and just to say how much I love y'all. Things have been a little up and down, but I think y'all know that I like to think positive, and sure enough, I thought positive and drew a little hook with some bait in it and caught a big bass, a full family. So I just want to say thank you so much. God bless everyone for being there for me during this crazy, almost tumultuous time. But Tam's going to make it through, and Tam's going to make it through. And with all of your help and prayers, of course, and certainly with all the help and prayers of the wonderful saints that I work with and my precious archangels, and I do say that with all respect. So I love y'all, and I'm tearing up.
We certainly love you, Miss Tammy Lee.
We love you too, Miss Tammy Lee. And for those who are listening to this show and have never tuned in before, and to those who are listening in archive in the future and have no idea what we're talking about, Miss Tammy Lee has had some issues, and we've played it soft, and we haven't talked about it a lot. But her mother has had some health issues. She's had to take care of her mom. And we have had a GoFundMe campaign to raise some money, not for her mother's medical issues, which are being taken care of, but because Miss Tammy Lee is basically commuting to take care of her mother, she has been unable to work. And because she's unable to work, she had a computer issue, and so she couldn't get that fixed and stuff. So we're calling these living expenses, she has a child, ancillary medical issue expenses, not actually for medicine. And Papa Newt has just posted in the chat room, if you're reading in live in chat, it's GoFundMe. And I'm going to give you the actual letters here. It's GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. Then /, and all these lowercase letters, meaningless letters, run together in one word. D as in dog, X as in xylophone, R as in Randy, D as in dog, Y as in ironwood, and which Y as in I don't know what, yes, and C as in cat. So it is DXRDYC. And that will get you to Miss Tammy Lee's GoFundMe campaign. She's asking for a small, reasonable amount of money to help keep her together while she cares for her mother. And I think everybody who's ever had to care for a loved one, when it means taking time off from work and you don't get recompensed for that, knows what Miss Tammy Lee is going through. It's a temporary situation, but it is a difficult situation. So we love you, Miss Tammy Lee. We're all hoping that those who know about this show and those who know about you through Triple Crown Conjure and those who know you through Facebook, everybody will, you know, see it in their heart to give a few bucks to help you get your stuff together. It's difficult because, and as Miss Tammy Lee has made it well known, she deals in two businesses. She does reading and root works, and she does deals in the insurance industry. And the insurance industry is on commissions. And so if you're not there, you don't get no money. Reading and root work, each is a self-employment, and each thing that you do, you get money when you do it. You don't get money if you don't do it. So if you can, in your heart, reach out and help Miss Tammy Lee in some way. It takes a whole lot of us to keep this community going, and she needs a little help right now because she is busy helping her mom. And if it was your mom, you know, you'd be helping your mom too. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. So
thank you.
Even a small amount, even $5 will help. Thank you for catching us up on that. I'm glad to see you're back online. Your phone connection is sucky, but you know we'll just see what we can do.
Oh dear.
it's kind of snap, crackle, and pop. It's kind of breaking up.
Glad to have you back, Miss Tammy.
We are so glad to have you back. We really are. You're a very important part of our community, and you mean a lot to us. Okay. Well,
y'all mean the world to me, and I'm just going to say that. And I don't want to be rude and interrupt you, but I love you, Miss Kat, and Nagashiva, and Lucky Mojo, the whole community once again, and of course, Conjure Mental Lee and my precious angel, Papa Newt. Okay, that's it.
And we got a big shout-outs to Papa Newt, who's in the chat room now. He's always there, just ready, in case we need help, and we love him, too. He's helped a lot through this difficult time with you. Mm-hmm. So as far as what's going on at Lucky Mojo, I'll just cut that short and just tell you things at Lucky Mojo are tripping along. We're doing very, very well. Thank you kindly. How are you doing, Ollie?
I am doing lovely. I'm glad to have Miss Tammy Lee back. I just want to, you know, really add my voice to what you said. We are a community, and helping one another out is extremely important, especially considering that we just talked about being part of the community. And also there's a great spiritual blessing in helping your friends and family and giving back. So I do encourage people to go to the GoFundMe and help in any way that they can. On my end, I have been extremely busy, you know, doing what I do best. I have a few writing projects underway that I should have some developments about in the next few weeks, so stay tuned to my blog, and I'll also make sure to mention it on the radio show as well. But for now, let's just say that I've been busy typing away.
Good, good. Well, I've been working, too, at book projects, and I do want to say that the next Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which is coming up in May, we are planning to publish more books. This last year, we did 5 books, and it was quite a thing. And one of the things that sets the Hoodoo Heritage Festival apart from other kind of feel-good, let's-talk-hoodoo-and-get-drunk programs is that we actually publish what in the academic world are known by the German name Festschriften, or Festschrifts, if you want to say it in English. And a Festschrift is a book that is published for a academic festival. And I, coming out of a, you know, Germanic Jewish academic family, am very much into the Festschriften thing. So we publish these books as giveaways for the use of people who come to the festival, but the books then are on sale ever after. And it's just a situation that we work on, and we try to make it be that we can have something come out of these festivals that's of use for people for the rest of their lives and for the succeeding generations.
Quality
so, yeah. Doc Murphy asks in the chat room, how do you spell fish rift? And Nagashiva spelled it correctly, I think. Oh, yes, he did. So so we will be having more books announced as we come up on that, and that is certainly one of the important parts of my work in the Lucky Mojo and Missionary Independent Spiritual Church is that I'm working on these books. And so I'm going to make some announcements about those as they come along. Last year I did not do a book. People are asking me, will you do a book this year, Miss Cat? Yes, I will. There will be a book from Miss Cat. Okay? Not ready to announce it yet. Just going to tell you that it will be another book on, guess what, hoodoo. But you knew that already. Yeah, you knew that already. So that's about all I can say about that. And the next thing we're going to go to is our panel discussion, okay? Now, we're going to bring in our guest for today, and our guest is John Saint Germain, a name to be reckoned with in the world of palmistry and a name to be reckoned with in the world of hoodoo. So welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you, Miss Cat. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, we're very glad to have you. Glad to have you. You get to be our guinea pig for our new new program schedule, so we'll see how that works out. Okay.
Well, since I wasn't familiar with the old format,
yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, we're just gonna wing it here. So you've brought to us a panel discussion on the subject of relationships. Now we've talked about relationships here a lot at this show, so I don't really have a lot of introduction to say about it because I think everybody pretty much knows what relationships is. So I'm
well,
just gonna throw.
So.
Well, yeah, but by relationships we generally mean any kind of relationship between one person and another, and how magic can influence that. How we use magic to both send people away and draw people to us, how to sweeten people, how to ameliorate difficult relationships, and how to know when to give up in relationships. That's all within the purview of hoodoo. So let me turn it over to you, John, and you tell us relationships. What do you have to say about hoodoo in respect to relationships?
Well, Ms. Cat, it's interesting. Lately, you know, when we think of relationships, people think about love relationships, man and wife, husband and wife, lovers, potential lovers, attraction spells, and things like that. But for the past couple of months, most of the people who have called me have been very interested about work relationships, about how to get on the job, how to stay on the job, how to get the boss interested in them. And I've got some very interesting thoughts on that. For one thing, I'm going to tell you that one of the best ways to get into work, a lot of people think that the direct approach is best, getting in the front door. And I'm going to tell you that getting in the front door is not the best way. That's what everyone does. If you're looking for a job, if you're looking in to get in a job, a lot of times you're temporary. A lot of times you're trying to apply for the job. Going in the front door is not the best way because the front door is always jammed. One of the best ways to do this is to get in the back door or the side door. So I'm going to tell you that one of the best ways I've ever gotten some of the best jobs I've ever received was not to approach the boss, but to approach, and I know this, I'm using gender specific here, but it works both ways, but to approach the boss's wife. And the way I've approached the boss's wife was to approach the boss's wife's friends. And if you get in good with the boss's wife's friends, the boss's wife's friends introduce you to the boss's wife, and the boss's wife will approach you to the boss. Now, this is in situations where it's hard to get in. This is the best jobs, not ones where you go to apply for, but say there's places that aren't hiring or places it's hard to hire, and this is a job you really, really want to want. You really want. You want this job. You don't want to go in the front door. That's where everybody's going. Find the person who has the boss's ear. Whoever has the boss's ear, you want to get in good with them. And this is where root work comes in. That's where root work comes in. You find the person who is, and I know this is subterfuge and pedophagy, but that's what a lot of root work is. It really is. Mm-hmm. And so now once you have your foot in the door and maybe you're a temp, the boss is listening to how you're getting along with other people. And we know that it's highly competitive on the workplace. And this is a bit of subterfuge that I've been recommending to some of my clients. And they say, well, how do I stay here? I want to stay here. And I say, well, be very helpful to the people around you, but then this is a very good thing. In the break room, of course, there's coffee. Where there's coffee and stuff, there's sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do is get your name on all those sugar packets, but you want to do it in a way that nobody knows your name is on it. And here's some very neat trickery. You want to put your name on those sugar packets in invisible ink.
Wow.
And here's how you do. Oh, yeah. And here's how you do that. And I want you can practice this at home, and this is a great trick to do. And this is, of course, in root work we call this laying tricks, right? It's called laying tricks, where you do work without people knowing it. So you want everybody at work to love you, and so you do this by making yourself useful and helpful, but there's a lot of people who may not like you, and so we're going to use a sugar spell. We're going to sweeten people. And so I've suggested this actually 4 times this month for people. I said, do this. Now, what you're going to use is lemon juice, and you've got to practice this at home to believe this, because this is really cool. Get a brush, get a little paintbrush, squeeze the juice from a lemon, and write your name on a piece of paper. Let the lemon juice dry. Now, take the paper and pass it over the flame of a candle, and like magic, you'll see your name appear. This is one of the most simple pieces of invisible ink. People did it in World War II. Spies did this lemon juice in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you're going to do is go into work and get a whole bunch of sugar packets and write your name on these sugar packets and lemon juice and put them back. Now, everybody who's using sugar will take the sugar, and a lot of people will open it by putting it in their mouth and opening it. So you get saliva on these sugar packets.
Mm-hmm.
And they touch them, and then they throw them away. Well, then at the end of the day, you collect these, and you take them home, and you develop your name. So what you have are petition.
Wow.
Yes, with your name on it, and their saliva, and their touch. And then you can do honey jars. You can do any kind of sugar spill you like. And this
wow. I'm going to tell you, that's a wrinkle on an old trick. And I got to tell you, you just taught me something new here. See, I was taught an older way to do this. I was told you go to the break room back in the old days, and they'd say you swap out some sugar. You bring some sugar from home. Now, at home, you have a bowl, and you put the people's names and business cards in, whatever, and you shake up that sugar, and you take some of that sugar with you to the job site, and they have a sugar can or jar, and you pour your sugar in, shake it in with the other sugar, take some home, and keep on doing that. Well, then they came out with these packets. So then I was told, by professional workers, now this goes back in a long time in my life, well, then you just take some regular sugar in your bowl, and you put the packets in with their names. In other words, you just take random packets, and then you let them sit there, and you shake them and pray over them, and you take the packets back. But nobody ever until you told me invisible ink, and then collect the empty packets with their, and a lot of people do rip them open with their teeth, or at least they're going to get their fingerprints on them. You know that because they're going to hold
beautiful
it.
The beautiful thing about this is that they've done this after you've written your name on it. So,
right.
Yes, and
right.
Now I don't know what the root work community consensus is on artificial sweetener. I don't know if artificial sweetener.
Oh, I've
artificial
always been
sweetener.
Told when they started with those artificials, I asked that question of the older ladies. I said, they go, well, it's sweet. Okay, it's sweet. It's just about sweet. It's not necessarily that sugar cane is a plant ally in the shamanic sense. It's about sweet as sweet. I think, tell me the truth, that those artificial sweeteners taste like poison to me. Poison. But I still use them if I have to. I still use them all because when I do a sugar packet spell. So this is a fantastic new.
And this doesn't even matter because all you want is the packet. You want your name on the packet when they basically lick it or touch it because they're touching your name.
And
then you bring it home and then you work whatever hoodoo you want. In fact, if you hate everybody at work, you could do a curse. You could do a hex. Because basically what you're doing is targeting your work, and you're creating a personalized petition. by having when most people are bringing it up to their mouth to tear it open, you're getting bodily fluid, which is the most powerful of all personal concerns.
Right.
So this sweetens everyone at work. You bring it home and you use a honey jar, or you can use love spells if you want. Everybody will fall in love with you. And so now they're talking about you, just how sweet you are and how nice you are and how helpful you are. And, of course, you have to be that way. If you're a hateful person or manipulative, this isn't going to work for you as well anyway. But if you go ahead and be helpful, when people have work, extra work, and you take it on and you stay over and everything, then the boss is going to start hearing about what a great person you are and how much people love you. And they're going, wow, we got to keep this person. And this will help you get your foot in the door. And this is a lot better than using manipulative people skills. It is a manipulative people skill, but it's a root work manipulative mm-hmm. people skill. And it'll help enhance your chances of keeping that job. And this is... it's also, to me, a little bit better than doing boss fix, because if you use boss fix, this enhances it, but you're not working on the boss directly. You see, you're working on the boss indirectly. And
right.
To me, that's just a little bit more effective.
Right. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And also, I'm just going to put something else, because when people think relationships, they think love relationships. Mm-hmm. This same thing of invisible ink could be applied to your stingy husband or whatever too. In families, in family homes, people also use sugar packets, sometimes in preference to a bowl of sugar, especially if they have ants around. Like on the West Coast here, we have a lot of these little sugar ants, and they just come up all the time. So people sometimes have packets in their house, and the housewares places will sell these things that look like a restaurant sugar packet holder, but it's like all fancy and beautiful, and you can get it at Crate and Barrel, and you can put it on your dining room table. And there are people who use packets in their home, although I think it's tacky beyond belief, but that's just me. But if they do, you get those packets. And that leads me to think of something else, because I'm thinking my wheels are turning, John. Tea bags.
Tea bags, yes. Sure, why not? You can use tea bags.
Tea bags come, there are two types of tea bags. Well, basically two types of tea bags. Paper and the kind that are a Mylar or a plastic. Don't buy those. Get the paper ones, baby. You can do the same invisible ink with the tea bags, and not with the Mylar. That won't work for you, but you want those tea bags. You have opened up a big world of invisible ink. The world of invisible ink.
Right. I've got a hundred tricks like that. I've got stuff you can do to attract lovers. I've got 100 tricks like that.
So the tea bags can be used in the home, though, too, because, if I say to my husband, oh, honey, can you get me a cup of tea, right? He'll bring me my little tea in my little tea bag. Here you go, honey.
Now, if it worked, they use sugar cubes. If it worked, they use sugar cubes. Think about oils and sachet powders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to lay tricks at work. Many ways. And then the evidence disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Nagashiva said in the chat room, heck, the ginger in the tea. Yes. I sweeten my tea with candied ginger, because it has a limited amount of sugar, but it's got that nice piece of ginger at the end as your reward. And everyone around me knows I sweeten my tea with ginger, candied ginger, and, of course, it's sugar. Okay, so they're all trying to sweeten me up as best they can. What about you, Ollie? What kind of a little quick, strange, unknown relationship tricks do you have up your sleeve?
Doug Murphy mentioned that she doesn't have access to sugar that's often used in her department where she works, because the only time they ever share is during meetings. Well, one of the ways around that, and what I have experienced, is you can offer to bring in the sugar, so you can prepare it in advance and bring in the sugar to those department meetings. If you
mm-hmm.
can't absolutely in any way, shape, or form get someone to ingest the sugar that you've tricked or whatnot, the trick that I was always taught, and this was for any case where, and I really do like the idea of expanding relationships beyond just romantic relationships, because at the end of the day, all our social interactions are a form of relationship. But if you can't get your foot in the door of a workplace or a department or wherever you're interested in going, you can't get inside to get into the stuff that they'll ingest, you can also take powders that you've mixed with the four corners of the dirt of that office along with a pinch of sugar and lay it down by the front door. attraction powders, crown of success powders. These are a great way of working them from the other end. If you can't get it through the mouth, you can get it through the feet. Both ways will work with the spirit. And this is if you can't absolutely get inside to deal with people, you know, because you don't always have access to the communal space of a work, or especially if you're an interviewer or interviewee. And similarly, of in a department, if you don't have access to the place where they eat their food or ingest their sugar, you can mix a little bit of dirt with a pinch of sugar and your sachet powders and lay that down where they'll walk through it, and that'll work on their spirit from the other way around. I have found that in cases like this, working both ends is successful and consistent work. Not just doing it once, not just doing it twice, but doing it on a regular basis, making sure that you kind of touch up the relationships you have. Going so regularly, laying down the powders. Once you get in, then you can start doing the tricks that yourself and John St. Germain mentioned, where you're working on the sugar that they're ingesting, working on getting personal concerns through the packets themselves. But there is a way of getting a foot in the door when you don't already have one in, and that's working from the outside. And for me, it's laying down powders. You know, good old Tauran way, earth sign way of working. Lay down some dirt, lay down some powders, get your foot in the door, get inside, and then get those sugar packets going.
I'm going to jump in here. Anna Gabriella mentioned that she brings to work homemade cookies. She can't get DNA from that, and maybe she should collect the used napkins. Yes, you could collect the used napkins if you could pre-mark them a la what John said, but I don't know that that's going to be as easy because the napkin cloth, or paper rather, is very thin and will probably show the invisible ink. I don't know. You have to test that out. But if you're already bringing homemade cookies, you already can use the Hoodoo Foods cookbook to make harmonious cookies. There's one called Harmonious Office Shortbread, or use the old trick that I was taught, which is buy sugar cookies and sprinkle your own prepared sugar on those cookies. It's just easy as pie. Remember, you're feeding them. There are many things here we're doing. One is feeding people. One is mastering people. One is foot tracking them. These are all different forms of contact magic or root work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, too, in terms of the love relationship, the same is true. And another thing that I was taught to do, you go out and you have a drink with somebody, and you say, I'll go get us some more drinks. I'll just save the waitress a little time and take our used glasses back. And you take and wipe with your napkin all around where their mouth has been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Put that napkin away. They all come back with the new drinks, right? And in other words, help the waitress out. But you've now just made a wipe and got their spit from their glass. Just something that I was taught to do a long time ago. It's not the best thing, but it sure will work somewhat. You can use it for a curse, or you can use it for love. But since we're talking relationships, let's just say you're going to use it for love. It's not as good as getting, you know, their sexual fluids on a paper napkin or on any kind of other thing, but it will work a lot to get something going on with them. That little paper napkin that you use to wipe around their glass can be used to stuff a doll baby.
And you shouldn't be afraid of getting someone's hair also. If you're working on quality, obviously it's harder if you're not working in the place and you're looking to get hired. But you have to stretch the imagination to get personal concerns, whether it's wiping something down with a napkin or whether it's even asking for a business card. If you're getting interviewed, always walk away with a business card. The person's touched it, it's got their name. It's a business personal concern. But if you're already working at a place, it's actually not hard to get someone's hair. This is something that clients, you know, talk about all the time. How do I get hair? It's actually very easy. You just go, you have a stray bit of hair here, and you reach out and you pluck it off. That's it. No one looks at you and goes, what the hell are you doing? You're going to work for me. Most people kind of go, oh, that's very nice of that person. You just have to be comfortable. If you don't act weird, no one's going to think you're doing anything weird. So don't be afraid to reach out and get someone's hair. And if you're obviously not close enough to do something like that, if you've just been interviewed, business card. It's an amazing personal concern of an individual. It's their personal, it's their business personal concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that I I find very easy to do, and I've mentioned this many times, is if it's about trying to connect with somebody in a relationship way where you want a personal sexual relationship with them, a good way to do is to always play a little teasingly and see if you can get a piece of their clothing. Women do this almost instinctively to men. Oh, I'm so cold. Can I borrow your jacket? You know, oh, the rain, my hairdo. Can I borrow your hat? But once you have that piece of their garment, you know it's going to be temporary, but you want to sneak away into a private place and a touch, kiss, rub, whatever, that piece of their clothing, and especially touch it to your pussy if you're a lady, and then bring it back to them and give it back. That is one of the easiest ways to do it. Now, we'll go back to the office. Oh, could I borrow your staple puller? Right?
Mm.
There are many things like this that you can ask to borrow in an office. But, you know, can I borrow your scalpel, doctor? Whatever. Can I have your stapler? Think about what it is, too. Do you want to borrow their scissors and cut the relationships apart? Or do you want to borrow their stapler and staple relationships together? Right? You can actually do that, okay? Think about the different kinds of ways that you would work with tools that might be there and what you could do with them. And now, that's not going to replace down-home hoodoo root work. To say, there was a book that came out, I think in the 90s, called Office Magic, and it was all about copy machines and staplers, and it was a clever little book. It didn't stand the test of time. I don't think it's, you know, become a classic for everybody, but it was something, it was a little fun book that made people have a couple of good laughs. I laughed about the book when it came out, and yet I used those tricks. I'd already used some of them. Some of them are pretty good, you know. Nagashiva in the chat room is going, paper clips, garbage cans.
Well,
yeah.
You know, a signature is very personal, but how personal is a fingerprint? And you know, you can lift a fingerprint with clear tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
right.
If you're at the office and someone has left a fingerprint on the surface of a copying machine or on a glass or something, and you lift their fingerprint, my goodness, you got skin oil, skin cells, and their personal fingerprint, which nobody in the history of the world has. And what an interesting personal concern to put in a doll baby or any sort of spell work. So the if you're going to use Scotch tape, don't use the frosty tape according to the FBI manual, but use the clearer, the shiny tape, or even better, the packing tape, the clear packing tape. And you can lift the entire fingerprint up. And my goodness, what a nifty personal concern a fingerprint would be.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, aren't we nefarious, aren't we?
Right. Well, these are some good ways to do work. Not too different from some of the old-fashioned ways where people would lift a footprint. You know, I was in the Lucky Mojo forum, and if y'all don't know about the Lucky Mojo forum, y'all ought to go there and check it out. It's forum.luckymojo.com, and this is thousands and thousands of posts on different topics, and people from all around the world and people who are customers of Lucky Mojo as well come and ask questions. And you know, that forum has been going since late 2008, so we think everybody knows everything, but they don't. And just the other day, someone posted, "How do I get a foot track?" And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And you can get tired of it. You can go, ah, just read it, you know. But no, we politely tell them again, how do you lift a foot track? Because there's a new person coming into the scene every day. So how do you lift a footprint? Well, a footprint was used in dirt, and you can use a spatula, a spoon, or a knife to lift a portion or all of a footprint. Spatulas are pretty useful because they're broad. You can take that footprint, you can work with it directly, turn it end for end and make a person who's leaving come back. You can do whatever you want. You can grab it. You can mix the dirt with something else. But in those days when hoodoo was first developed, there were more dirt paths and dirt roads and dirt sidewalks than there are now. So people now go, I can't do hoodoo anymore because I can't get a footprint. Well, yes, you can. You can drop a little dirt onto the sidewalk and still scrape it up. Just make it look like the guy who was doing the lawn edging had a little accident with his edger. Oops, and a little dirt and grass fell into the thing, and people will step on it. They won't avoid it. So also you can get a little water on, and they will walk, and they'll leave their foot tracks literally in the water. Okay, so you can go
no.
get you know,
snow. And then when you have the snow. Yes, and then you have water. Then you have water, and then if you collect the footprint and you have water,
mm-hmm.
you can mix it with stuff, and you can use it for anointing and sprinkling. Use it to sprinkle on doll babies. You can use it for spirit water. You can use it for mix it Florida water, scented water. You can use it to spray. You can spray it. So
right.
You can do a lot more with water than you can with dirt.
Yeah, and that is true. Water is a good one. And there used to be, now again, going back in the old days, I was always told, well, if a man goes, you know, you're all saying, if the man goes in the bushes to take a leak, and in those days, men would go in the bushes to take a leak. No. You go at, you note where he got, you mark where he went, and you collect the dirt he peed in. And then you have a way back into his penis. No kidding. For good or for ill, for good or for ill,
oh,
whatever
cat.
It is you
so
want
many
to do.
Men. So many men don't flush. You go in behind a lot of guys.
Oh, my Lord. Now, let's not go there.
So
oh, my.
You could go into an office behind your arch rival, and he doesn't flush, and you can collect a sample of that. I never thought of
well,
that.
Well, not only the men who don't flush, but the men who miss.
Yes. You sure could get a sample. And
there's plenty of men who flushes, but he misses before he flushes. Okay? I'm just telling
you. That might be, though, in an office. That could be hit and miss, though. You might take a sample from the floor and get everybody in the office. But
I'm just saying, mark where they go. And of course, these are little private things we don't talk about a lot, but we do them. And and you can then again use it for to encourage a relationship. You can use it to encourage domination to keep your job relationship good. You can use it to sweeten. No problem with that. You could take a little drop of someone's pee and or the dirt they peed in or whatever little mess they made. You could take that. I'm not going to go so far as to say boogers, but I've heard of people saying, why not use their boogers? Well, sure,
Kleenex.
You could use
Kleenex.
You could. I'm just saying, but you wouldn't use their boogers in a love spell to have the man be your husband, okay? Because you don't want a booger for a husband. You want, but you might use that to dominate. If you know what I'm saying, or to, you know what I'm saying. There's reasons to use all those types of things. And Shiva in the chat room says, women are more vulnerable. Oh, my Lord. Back in the day when women did not use disposable sanitary products, they used what was called their piece, their monthly piece, or their rag, and they would wash it out. Well, that thing would get a little bit stained, and they'd hang it up in the yard, and people would steal a lady's piece. And if you read some of the old accounts, and even when I was young, that was already a passing thing. But people would go and do that, steal a person's piece. Uh-oh, that was a piece of very loud music.
Is that break time or?
Well, now you see, I told you we were trying this. There we go. Yes, we're trying to come up with a transitional music. You just caught us with our boogers out there. Now
well,
it's
suppose,
gone.
Okay. Well, then let's use that as a segue. Since people out there said, yeah, but what about love? Well, suppose you wanted to make an attraction spell, and there's some guy you wanted to attract. You could get. Get your handy dandy red flannel bag and put, say, Damiana, Queen Elizabeth Root, catnip, and some guys use Kleenex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there you have an attraction spell.
Yeah. All righty. So Shiva says, sorry about that. Yeah, that was supposed to be our up and under music, and now he's cut it off. All right, so we're going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee. You get another try at this, Shiva, later. All right.
Some guys use Kleenex.
This is what my old friend and pastor, Johnny Otis, used to call amateur night in Dixie. All right, we're turning it over to Miss Tammy Lee and see what she has to say.
My name is Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Tanja Manali, and this week's very special guest, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back and taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum. at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. And now we're going to go ahead and go to the forum and take our first client. Can you all hear me?
Yeah. Who's our first call?
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. This is Bruhaha. Here we go with my radio. Bruhaha, I'm calling in from 917
Hi.
From New York City. Bruhaha, are you there, caller?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. Welcome back to the show. It's my understanding that you were on the air in 2011, and thank you for being a loyal listener and calling back in. And you've had
thank
some
you.
Private readings with one or two of our hosts, either Ms. Kat or Conjumentally, and have posted regularly in the forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host. And she writes, the past reading was about the wrong guy for me. I'm over him. I think we have met the new one Kat mentioned and want to find out if this is him and what's in store for us, if anything. I really don't know if this is the man that will meet my boyfriend because it's been 3 years since the reading from Kat, and I thought readings were only valid for 6 months. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Hi, Bruhaha. I'm going to give a couple of comments here about whether readings are good, valid only for 6 months. I read tarot on the show, and tarot cards are, a fairly limited thing, depending on what kind of a layout you use. On the show, I do a three-card cut, and I usually say that ain't going to be good for more than about 3 months. If I were to do a Wheel of the Year, it would be a one-year reading, but it would take me a whole hour to do that reading for you. And if I were to do an astrological reading, I could do it decades ahead because astrology shows the weather report a long, long way ahead. So the belief that you have there is slightly incorrect. So I just wanted to correct that and make so that nobody listening to the show thinks readings are only valid for 6 months. Not true. A tea leaf reading is usually said to be good for 4 weeks. Different readings come with their own traditions about how long they're good for, and also different readers can sometimes see far more into the future than would be used normally with that particular form of reading. So, having said that, so you've met a new guy. All right. Now, congratulations. You met a new guy. That's really great. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. You did have a reading with Conjurman Ali about this situation. So now you're going to get a reading with me and a reading with John St. Germain. So I'm going to ask you, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Scorpio.
Scorpio, yay. And we're going to say yay, but we got all this little Scorpio Mercury retrograde action. We're just going to pass right over that right now for the moment, not to mention the Uranus-Pluto thing. We're just going to go, we're not going to pay attention to it right now. And this person who is your new love interest, what sign of the zodiac?
Well, I don't know yet. When you drew the cards for me, you said he'd be the Page of Swords, and he may be an air sign. That's the part that I can't confirm yet. But the other stuff, I think, tell me that this may be the guy.
All right. So
you
don't know his birthday?
No.
All right. So we're talking about a relationship that has not gotten past the hi, how are you thing. Okay.
Basically, yes.
All right, good. All right, well, that's good to know. That's going to limit, to a certain extent, as they say in computer code, garbage in, garbage out. More information in, better information out. The more you know and the more we know going in as readers, the better. Bring it with you when you come. If you can get a birth date, that always will help. All right. Now,
right.
I'm going to throw three cards. Card of Judgment comes up first. This is a card of a Gabriel blowing a horn and bringing the dead back to life. So no matter what else is going on, this thing is reviving your interest in love. It's something brand new for you. And it may also be reviving this person's interest in love. They may have gone through a hard time too. It's a very good card for a totally new start. The Archangel Gabriel would be your go-to angel if you work with angels. Gabriel is the announcing angel who announces new things and brings new things to being. It's a good card. It also says that this relationship will actually be on a different level than the previous one. Okay, the next card is a card called the Two of Wands. This shows a man looking like Christopher Columbus, and he's holding a globe of the earth. He has a wand in one hand. It's balanced on a little parapet of a castle that he's standing on, and there is a carving of two roses crossed with two lilies on the inside of the parapet. Roses and lilies stand for passion and the more spiritual or intellectual aspects of life. It's a pretty good mix. There is another wand in a bracket, a metal bracket, on the in the air behind him, coming up off of that parapet. This shows no ships at sea, and yet the man holds a globe of the earth. He's planning, but he hasn't yet got the conveyance to get him into that relationship quite yet. So this question asking may be a little premature. Might have done better to wait a little till you have a little bit more information. There isn't yet, the plan is good. The man is looking for a perfect partner, and you're looking for a perfect partner, the two parallel wands. But there's something missing at this point. There is no conveyance yet to that person. You haven't set sail, as it were. Okay. It's going to be hard for me to determine, is this the right guy, without knowing how deep that connection can go.
Well, I just wanted to give you a tiny bit of background because there's a little bit of a problem. This guy is someone that I met on my commute to work. Commute from, on the weekend, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He was checking me out, and I happened to look up, and when I looked at this man, I lost my breath. So after that, I started to see him regularly at this stop at the same time. And
this is what I'm saying, no conveyance. See what I'm saying? There is no...
But
I don't mean to cut
him.
You off on you. Yeah, you approached him? Okay good. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I finally approached him, but the problem is, he seems receptive. He doesn't ask for my number. We ride the train and talk together, and then that's it. Then the next time I see him, same thing. I do the approaching, and he's receptive, but he doesn't ask for the number.
Yeah.
So
there's something missing here, and this is what I'm saying. This card, Two of Wands, shows there's something missing. No ships on the sea. You're not going in his direction yet. Okay, third card, and we're going to get to the third card. The third card is a card that tells me you need to be a little bit cautious about this situation. Not that he's a bad person, but there may be something else going on in his life. I'm assuming you saw he's not wearing a wedding ring, but not all men do, and he may not be married, but he may be in a relationship. Okay, he may be also something else going on here. Again, the reason I say this, the third card is the Chariot. Chariot is a card of a man and a woman represented here by two sphinxes, black and white, that are in front of a chariot as if they're going to pull it forward. But there are no reins, no harnesses, no nothing. There's a man in the chariot, and there are a whole lot of astrological symbols here. And this is kind of interesting because I asked about the astrological symbolism, and I didn't get a real good response on it, and I'm seeing here that this may be a situation where you're just not hooked up yet. All right, I'm going to turn this over to John and let him go and see what he has to say.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that I definitely agree with everything Kat has told you. This is a man with, I'm not going to say a secret, but there are things here that you don't know, and there are things that you're going to have a hard time knowing. There's complications with him. He's a man who's got a closed book, basically, and there's complications. He cannot enter a relationship at this time because there's unfinished business. I'm going to tell you that there's a lot of changes in his life, and there's a lot of suffering in his life right now. Emotionally, he's wounded. He's overcoming this wound. And he wants to move on, but he can't quite move on yet. a relationship with him right now would involve a great deal of emotional ups and downs. Now, I want to tell you, too, that I want to tell you a little bit about the difference between this relationship, which has possibilities. I want to tell you, I'm not going to be the guy to tell you to not go into this, but I want to tell you this relationship does have possibilities, but you're going to have to move very slowly with it. Now, the difference between this relationship and the one you had before, the one in the past, I want to tell you that there were a lot of illusions with that one. There's a difference between the way things are and the way we want it to be, and the one in the past was more the way you wanted it to be. I think that there were a lot of illusions with that one. The chap you were with was more of a fantasy than it was real, and then as you got into it, you realized this is not real. This is more of a, you know, he was very good at telling you what you wanted to hear and telling you all those mm-hmm. sweet things and stuff. But then as you got along, you realized that, you know, it was all talk and no action, and that the words did not convey the reality of, you know, this person you were with, and the promises were not followed through. This is a fellow who has some substance, but because he has the substance, there's debts of honor that he has to follow through, and I'm afraid that some of these are going to take some time for him to take care of. There's things in his life that are unresolved, and I believe he's going to have to resolve those first. And so getting into a relationship with him is going to take some time. I believe he has financial responsibilities he's not quite met yet, and I believe this is going to be necessary for you. Now, in terms of your current life, financially, I want to tell you that there's some good news up ahead of you, that financially things are going to look better for you, and that's probably good news for you, I think, right now.
Yes, that is.
Yeah. There's this cloud over you, this cloud over you of some debt that I believe you'll be able to, the sun is going to come out from behind those clouds. Is there right now this really tough decision, this really major decision that you're trying to make? You don't know whether to go
yes.
right or left on it. Yeah.
Yes.
What I'm going to tell you with this is that there's someone you can ask about this, but it's someone you'd rather not ask. Does that make sense to you? It's someone that you'd
yes.
really rather not ask. Okay, that makes sense to you?
Yeah.
But to get an answer to this, you're going to have to ask them. You know, you've got to swallow your pride and ask them. And then you'll be able to uncover that piece of information that you need to make that decision. But this is someone you'd really rather not ask, but, you know, you're just going to have to ask them and mm-hmm. uncover that. Now, in terms of this relationship, he's going to make the next move. He's going to make the next move to let you know that you can go further with it. Now, is he the one? I don't believe there's such a thing as the one, but he may be the next one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get. Let's see if
Wright
we can. Yeah. Let's
Mr.
see if
Wright
we can get to some root work for this for brouhaha too. Let's say that this guy is approachable. So let's bring Ollie in. What kind of root work would you suggest?
You know, in a case like this where you don't have a lot of connection with him, you don't have his date of birth, I would start by specifically working on your ability to attract him, magnetic qualities to get him to move forward. This is the chariot card, right? There's potential there. We want to get him to kind of put that chariot in motion, get that link going. And then you can do other work more specifically aimed at him. So what I would recommend is get yourself some catnip, brewed into a tea and bathe in this. And I would do this every day at dawn before you get up, you know, before you go out to work, before you see him on the bus. Additionally, I would recommend getting some come to me oil, which you're going to anoint your hands with. So you're going to put some come to me oil on your hands and you're going to pray over them. And you're going to call out his name and you're going to say, when I touch you, you are going to respond. Next, you want to get some of your sexual fluids and place them at your pulse point. Some people are like, oh, no, I don't want to do it. It's a powerful aphrodisiac. It's an amazing pheromone. Do it. It's powerful. Okay? It's good.
Okay.
Put it behind your ears, just a little dab behind your ears, maybe on your wrist. Now you have all these powerful things going. Approach him. Sit down next to him and touch him. And when you touch him, in your mind, you're going to pray. Now, don't just touch him and stare at him and be awkward. That's not necessarily continue the conversation. But as you touch him, call out in your mind, so-and-so come to me. I want you to think of me. I want you to respond. Give him just a little light squeeze. You can be responding to a joke he made. If you laugh at the joke, make sure you reach out and touch him. So what you're doing is you're getting that oil on him. You're getting that power on him, and you're working directly on his spirit. And you'll notice a very clear sign, like John St. Germain mentioned, that he'll give you a sign. You'll get a very clear sign from his interest will increase. He'll give you signs of where he's pursuing more. He'll be more affectionate. He'll be more comfortable touching you. And then get to know him. Get his name, you know, get his full name if you don't have it yet. Get his date of birth. Start sharing this information, because once you get that, that's when you can start doing work at home directly on him, putting him in a sugar jar, doing some moving lodestone spells, things like that to kind of increase your chances. But first, start off with getting movement and attraction on his end, a palpable, clear sign of attraction. Not just him being receptive, but him starting to pursue. And to do that, you've got to lure him toward you with the works that I recommend, okay? I'm going to turn this over to John, actually, and see if he has any additional recommendations to give in this matter, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you, Polly. That was wonderful. That's wonderful work. Once again, I'm fond of subterfuge, so I wonder if it would be useful to roll up a newspaper and put some attraction sachet on it, come to me, love me, follow me, boy, and address the very tip of it, and then tap him and say, pardon me, did you drop this? And hand it to him. So that when he grabs into the paper, in that sachet, once again, put some of your personal juices in that sachet. Mix it up really good and then dress the end of that paper with it. And then, yes, and this tab and say, pardon me, is this your paper? And hand it to them. When you hand someone something, it's their natural instinct to just grab it. And he'll instinctively grab it and say, well, I don't think so. But and then he'll hand it back to you. And then there's a call
exchange.
And
spot.
Yes, and then he'll get some of that powder on his hand, and that's a very good way to do that. Another attraction mojo that I really love, it's very traditional Southern, is in a mojo bag, use cherry bark with Damiana, Queen Elizabeth root, catnip, and you just carry that on you, and it's very fragrant too, and you have that on you, and you brush against the person of your attraction that you're attracted to, and it's a strong magnetic attraction. But I love the thing with the newspaper. Hand it to him, and he grabs it. And he'll get some of the sachet powder.
That's really great. All right. How about it? When we do this kind of work on somebody that we don't know, some of the first things we need to do is to find out more about them. So I want to just tell you from my point of view, I'm just going to jump in here with one more thing. Do look at his hands to see if there's a ring or not. Don't waste your time on someone who's wearing a wedding ring. I always say that. Look at his shoes and see if they're well kept. If his shoes are well kept, that means he's a well kept man. If his shoes are torn and nasty and dirty, don't even go after that man. A man could have a dirty shirt because of his occupation, but he should never be walking around on his way to work with dirty shoes.
Fingernails.
Okay?
Fingernails. Also fingernails.
Fingernails. Watch his fingernails. Mm. That's right. All right.
Okay.
So those are some of the things to look for in starting a new relationship. And we wish you all the best. I hope that you have good luck. Joby in the chat room asked, what if he has a girlfriend? Well, this may be something we did kind of sense that there was something here.
There's
that
something.
May, you know, yeah.
It's unfinished
and,
business.
Yeah, some sort of unfinished business, so we're not sure about that. All right. Now,
okay.
The thing about starting a new relationship is it's all wide open for you. You can do whatever it is you want and start slow and work your way up. Figure that you got some room to play here. Good luck to you. If this isn't the one, he is a one, as John St. Germain just said. All right?
Thank you all
okay.
very much
all
for
right.
your help.
All right. Good luck
You're
to
welcome.
You, Bruhaha, and we wish you all the best. All right. Oh, I have to say, Nagashiva, you failed the music test a second time. That was kind of real nice, and now it's gone. We don't know where it went to. We're looking for something. We're looking for something much like Michael Krasny has done for 20 years on KEDE Forum in New Salem.
Yeah, this is complicated.
It's
complicated. All right. So, yeah, that didn't work. Let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Fort California and located online at luckymojo.com and by the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and take our next new client. And our next new client is Elle, calling in from area code 412, Pennsylvania. Elle, are you there, caller?
Hi, yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. Hi. We know you as Lucky Number 6 in the Lucky Mojo Forum, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and let our host that you are new to the radio show, but that you have gone to Miss Phoenix of AIR, and she writes, "Giving a honey jar on a guy I met online and met in person in the summer. We fell in love, but he does not want to do a long-distance relationship as we are a few hundred miles away from each other. We are still in contact and talks every day, often by text, and still flirty and sexual and still having feelings of each other. But he said he also wants someone who's close and nearby. I just wanted to know if there's some hidden factors involved that I could not see on a general idea of what's going on and what's in for us in the future, and maybe what I could do to keep him or make him commit to me. Honey jar is definitely working in terms of sweetening, and I've been burning red candles for St. Martha. I would also like an insight on St. Martha. Help, because I feel like she's been helping me a lot. On a portrayal, rather, of, I'd also like the idea of having a poppet and could interact with, I'm sorry, would be suitable for the situation, and maybe do freezer spells on potential rivals. And I've been getting fascinated with burning candles. I wonder what candles, aside from the 4-inch ones for my honey jar, that I could use for my situation. Vigil candles, skull candles."
All right, honey, first of all, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. That was a mouthful. First of all, honey, that's okay. That's all right. It was way too long. Second, you're not asking for a reading. So, or are you? You're asking for a lot of things here. So let's just try to clean this down to the thing. You want to know if there's hidden factors and or a general idea. Now, you also talk about a poppet. That tells me you don't come out of the hoodoo tradition. You come out of some Anglo-Irish or European occultist tradition. We're not going to be talking about that, but we might talk about doll babies, which is what we call them. So let's try to stay with our program here. And then you're talking about St. Martha, which is used to dominate men, but you don't even have this man to dominate him. So you're kind of going all different directions at once. I want to get you to focus, and I want to get us to focus. So let me turn this over to Ollie, who sure knows how to focus.
Okay.
What I've done is I've actually looked at the prospect of this relationship, and I've pulled three cards here. Tell me if you're on the right track, if it's worth going through. First card we have is the Magician. The Magician shows us a sorcerer standing before his altar with all of his tools representing the various elements. He's got his rod of power reaching up into the sky and his other hand pointing to the ground, saying, "As above, so below. There are roses above him and roses in the leaf below him." This is an indication that magical work is called for, and that without magical work, things may not progress. Your desire is there. You're kind of on the right track. You're putting your intentions out there, but you're going to have to call on more tools in your repertoire, and they're going to be tools that are specific for this case. It isn't just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, but it's strategy, it's intelligence. This is a mercurial card, so it's all about having some type of strategy here, some type of work, direction as you go forward. Specifically, communication spells are going to be very important here. The next card we have is the Ace of Cups. It shows us a divine hand, the hand of God reaching out of a cloud and a goblet in that hand. And there is this dove of the Holy Spirit coming into this cup and 5 streams of water pouring out. There is affection here. There is attraction here. There, he is sincere in his interest in you. He does absolutely like you. No denying that. You've gotten clear signs. That's the present. You do need to continue to work with your saint. Saint Martha is going to be helpful in this case. Yes, she is a saint that dominates, but in this case, she is hearing your prayer. She can also be called to bring a wayward man back, as well as to kind of get to straighten out a guy who's a bit reluctant. Not exactly the best way of you know, approaching this situation, but she is still going to be helpful, and she is hearing your prayer, which is what you've asked of. But the third and final card, which represents the future, is the Two of Wands. Now, we've had this card before. Miss Kat just pulled it in the previous reading. So this is, we're seeing a pattern here. Here we show an individual with a staff in his hand. He's standing on a balcony. He has a globe. He's looking out into the bay. Behind him is another staff waiting for his partner to come from. He's still not quite sure if he wants to be with you. So he likes you. His interest is sincere. You know, you're kind of on the right track, but he hasn't made up his mind. This is a man who's still deciding what he wants in his future. You should also be aware that he is very much open to anyone taking up that staff and stepping up. He wants someone that's nearby. This means that you should very much be worried about rivals stepping into the picture. And in fact, the reason he says, I'm not ready for a relationship, is really him pussyfooting around the fact that he wants someone right then and there. Okay, he's open to other partners. He's basically telling you that in his own way. But he doesn't want to completely shut things down with you because he likes you. There's interest there. So be aware that there is no connection right now. The distance is a severe hindrance between you. You're going to need to do root work that overcomes that distance. All the work that you do needs to be focused at increasing the communication, making sure that you guys have good, solid communication, because there's going to be a hiccup in that, and making sure that there's proximity between the two of you, bringing you two together while addressing his, overcoming his desire for other people, him kind of remaining open to other possibilities, making him focus down, as Ms. Kat said, down onto you. And I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see what they see in this situation, okay?
Okay, okay, so the next reading goes to John.
Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name because there was some static. What's your name here?
You can call me L.
L? Okay, that's right. L.
Just the letter L.
Yes.
Just the letter L. That's the key in which I sing. Did you know that? I sing in the key of L. Well, I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna have to ask you a very personal and frank question. Have the two of you yet talked about sex?
Yes. We've been intimate. Yes.
Okay, because I'm going to tell you that this gentleman, according to my reading, this gentleman likes to experiment. And what he's looking for, I think, is someone who shares his playful, I'm going to be discreet, playful and experimental nature in that area. And more than anything else, I think this is the key to his heart. He is a creative and passionate gentleman, and I'm going to tell you that he enjoys that particular activity, playful and experimental nature in the erotic skills, in the erotic area. So now I'm going to tell you, though, that emotionally, relationships scare him because he knows that if he falls in love, he's going to fall in love all the way. So so bold in the bed, shy in the heart. This is a kind of a strange combination, really. So he's going to take tentative steps in opening his heart. It's almost like emotionally he keeps you at arm's length, but then he's got this little valve in which he lets him over. So, but I think if you invest your time and your patience, though, this can be a very rich and rewarding relationship and one that's extremely unpredictable. Now, emotionally, he can be a little unpredictable. So emotionally, he can be a handful. And if you're a person who likes that kind of emotional unpredictability, this could be okay. If you're someone who likes what I call flatliners, you know, someone who's always predictable emotionally, then not so good. Personally, I don't like flatliners. You know, if I get a conversation with what I call a flatliner, it's like, how can I get out of this? But I think he's got a very creative mind, a very imaginative mind, and he's a very interesting gentleman. I think this is worth waiting. This is worth developing and worth pursuing. I'm going to tell you that this is, as far as I can see, a very good one for you. I would pursue this. Now, it's this cyber thing is very strange to me. You know, I'm an older guy. I'm 55, so this whole cyber thing is very strange to me. But see how it develops. I'm getting very good vibes on this. Now, in terms of root work, I think that you can do a an attraction spell, and I'm going to spell this out. I'm going to tell you that what a lot of men will do is use sexual affection as a substitute for real affection, and sexual intimacy as a substitute for real intimacy. And, you know, so a lot of times there'll be these discussions like, you know, you don't really show me affection. It's like, what do you mean? We make love 10 times a week, you see. A lot of these conversations occur quite a bit. So here's a very good attraction spell to open up a man emotionally. You need a candle, and it can be red or white. And you need a rose thorn. So get a rose and put the petals and get the thorn. And you divide the candle into seven sections with the thorn. And you need some pictures or personal effects, and two matched lodestones, you know, a male and a female lodestone. And that's really all you need. And you can dress it with attraction oil, come-to-me oil, et cetera. But you take the two lodestones and put them apart, and you need to feed it, so lodestone grit, too. So you anoint the lodestones with the attraction oil, or you just put rose petals on it. You can crush rose petals and do that, too. But divide that candle into seven sections with the thorn. Then you light the candle, and you let it burn to the first section, and you move the lodestones a little bit together. Now, on the lodestones, you put personal concerns, sexual fluid, if you can, or pictures, one of you and one of him. And then the second night, you do the same thing, moving closer. Feed the lodestones with lodestone grit, lodestone oil, and anoint them. Second night, the same thing. Boom, move them closer together. Mm-hmm. Third night, boom, do this for 7 days until the candle is exhausted.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a question about the personal effects. I think I have. Mm-hmm. I might have sexual fluids, but they're like dry.
Yeah. I can answer that. The use of dried or frozen sexual fluids is very common in magic. It shouldn't even be a question in most people's mind. If you think about it, in the days before refrigeration, people didn't have freezers. What were you going to do? Dry and powder them is the easiest way to do it. But if you can't, you dry them on a piece of cloth or paper, and you use that. You can shred it or powder it if you wish to. So, yes, you're making an attenuated thing. Some people will then take and add water to reconstitute it, but then you have something in which the protein has been reconstituted and it could rot. So just be careful what you're using it for or how you use it. Okay?
All right.
Now, I'm going to say something else. It was asked, do you feed the lodestones every night? Is that what he was describing? You feed the lodestones every time you use them with magnetic sand, anvil dust, or whatever you want to use to as you feed them. Now, I'm going to give you another idea here, and this has to do with cybersex, which John didn't want to talk about. He said he was too old at 55. Well, I'm not too old at 67. So, John, sit back, take
a
lesson.
Okay,
here.
It's not that I'm too old. It's just it's after my time, you know.
Honey, I've done been there. Okay, cybersex is a great way to meet, greet, and test people and get to know people. If you're single, go for it. Why not? This also may be part of his playfulness, as John described it, politely. There were people in the chat room saying whips, and I'm like, no, 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 experimental could mean that he's interested in Skype sex or other forms of sex, phone sex, and so forth. And speaking as someone who's engaged in that sort of stuff, it's certainly pleasurable if you have a partner who knows what they're doing, too, and knows how to do it, because if they don't know how to do it, they're no better than a person who's bad in bed. It takes certain skills to be able to do phone sex. It takes certain skills to be able to do Skype sex, and you got to think about those. What does the setting look like and so forth? Try it. Propose it. It might work. If you're going to do that and you want to use magic, which is what this root work is about, you're going to want to, for instance, address yourself, your body, your stuff with the various stuff that you use. And try, when you do a Skype sex or cyber sex session, if you can, especially if it's visual, to send some article of clothing which has touched your body during the course of that and get them to trade with you. Okay? Then the next time you would be shown, show yourself with that article of clothing of theirs, and do whatever you do, and send it back. Okay? So you are actually getting contact spell work done. You can do not launder that material, but you can get some oils or powders on your body, and you want to get whatever you can. So that is a way to do cyber sex, just practical cyber sex with a person in a long-distance relationship. I also do believe that the reading showed that he has some other interest going on. So let's not ignore the fact that this might be a difficult situation, because there may be some other things going on. If you are sexting somebody, just sexting them, that is not usually enough to hold together a relationship. I'll tell you from my experience with my clients who just sexted, they don't really, it's something that a person can do with six different people running on all different levels at different times. It is not the same as actually physically, bodily, sexually working through Skype. Just saying, I know this for a fact from my clients. Okay, now St. Martha. St. Martha is help in domination, and if you want to dominate him, that's a certain kind of relationship. And I'm not sure that you usually would go there. I know people to use St. Martha if a person is cheating on them. To use St. Martha if the man is not bringing home his pay. If the man has another woman, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, you're saying St. Martha is working on you, and you want a doll baby. Okay, that's fine too. But you're starting from a domination standpoint. Where are you going to go from there? If it were me, I would start from a seductive standpoint and then work to domination if you needed it. I don't know how long it's been going on, but I'm just saying it might be better to, we're talking carrot and stick. We need a little more carrot here because I'm saying a lot of stick. Freezer spells for the potential rivals, absolutely. Great idea. Burning candles, good idea. Dress those candles in your pussy. In other words, don't be using the big glass ones unless you've got a pussy the size of all Idaho. But just use the littler, the ones that will fit in your pussy. Dress those candles with inside your pussy, and then be lighting those candles and show him that in a Skype sex session. Okay? Get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The four-inch ones for your honey jar, not big enough. Got it, lady?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? You don't want no man with a 4-inch weenie, okay? So you want to have some sex candles that are the size that you find appropriate for your sex, okay? So no skull candles up your pussy. That don't work. You could. You can sit on them and twirl, I guess. But, you know, just be careful with what you do, all right? Vigil candles, you can use those, but you don't want him to see those if you're having Skype sex with him. Right? Because he's going to go, what's she burning that St. Martha candle for? Holy fuck, she's trying to dominate and control and rule me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But think of this, if you do have Skype sex with him, get yourself a nice backdrop. Make this, you know, think of yourself as being on a show, really. I mean, you're putting on a situation that is going to contain all of the magical elements. Light some incense, have those candles going, do what you need to do, but do it in a way that is right. And John says, go ahead, pipe in, John. John says, use the phallus candles. That is certainly right.
Actually, we've tried like Skype sex before, so I was thinking maybe I could light tea candles next time.
Well, you might want red ones. You might want whatever you want. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we think we have given you some good ideas. We do have a situation here that he may have some other interest going on. So be careful here and whatever. All right.
And arrange some time to meet as soon, you know. Don't wait too long, because distance is going to be a killer here.
Yeah. And Shiva, for the third time, failed to make the music work the way we wanted it to, so we're just going to turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee. Thanks to our caller.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for joining us, Angel. We've got about 11 minutes to go in today's Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast in iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if you're chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com. And Condiment Ali of ConjamentAli.com, and this week's special guest from AIR, John St. Germain of JohnSt.Germain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo World Hour. And we're going to go ahead and go to our free cell section with John St. Germain. John St. Germain, sir, turning it back over.
Well, thank you. Am I on now? Thank you.
Yes, you are.
I'll tell you a very popular spell. I came up with this because often I have a lot of couples who have issues about the past. They have problems with forgiveness about things in the past, and it may involve infidelity or any number of things. And so I've come up with this spell for them, a ritual, and it's helped so much. And what I've done, this is on my website so that it can be downloaded, and it's called, I call it Burying the Past, and I'm going to give you the details of it, and once again, this is on my website, so that it's on the front page of my website. You can go and download this, but you you make a petition paper, and you write on this petition paper, I, and you write yourself, so I would write, so say, I, John, and I, Laurie, hereby call upon all good spirits above and below, seen and unseen, born and yet to be born, and upon God the Father, to bear witness that we are burying all past conditions and situations, giving them to the earth where they may rest forever, and pass from our hearts, from our minds, and from our spirits forevermore. May it be so. Then both of you sign the petition, and you kiss the petition. Then you dig a hole in the ground, about 10 inches deep, and you place in the hole any sort of uncrossing herbs you want, any kind you like, fenugreek, calamus, lemongrass, hyssop, whatever, mint, five-finger grass, lemon, verbena, whatever you like, it's uncrossing. Or you can just dress the petition with uncrossing oil or van-van. And then I like to add rose petals, patchouli, lavender, dress with fire of love oil. And then you add some personal concerns, like locks of your hair. And then you read the petition out loud. You read it together in unison, and you kiss it, and you fold it up, and you drop it in the grave that you prepared, and then you bury it. And this is best done under moonlight, I think. And then you stick a small white candle in the soil, and you light it. Now, this should be a small candle, because you don't want to be there all night. And then you let the candle burn until it's gone. And then you seal the deal by going home and making love for as long as you can. And then you let the past bury the past.
Wow.
Now, sometimes, and this has happened to me a couple of times, a person says, my significant other is not going to go for that. They just don't go for this witchcraft stuff. And you can do it in absentia by using one of their personal concerns, or you can do it with a doll baby and bury the doll baby with it. And
wow.
If you do it in absentia, then it's equally as effective. But you literally bury the past, and you make a vow. You make a pact never to speak of it again. The past is literally buried in the earth. And then from that day forth, you have a fresh beginning. And this is a very healing ritual, and it's a very cleansing ritual. And I've done this in person for people, for my private clients, and I've instructed people to do it over the phone. And if you go to johnstgermain.com or johnjonsg.com, it's downloadable. It's a PDF. You can download it. And I've got a petition paper there with the fourth seal of Solomon, fourth Venus seal, on the back of it to add a little to it. And you can just chop that off, just cut it off and write your you can paraphrase it any way you like and do this. If you have anything in the past that you need to bury between you and your significant other. And,
can I ask a couple of questions? If you did this with someone in absentia, you make a doll baby on them, and then you do this.
Yes.
Now, just to say, what do you do when you come to the make love part? You're just going to, like, make love with the doll baby, right?
Well, you can do that.
Or you can make love with them if they will. They don't come out.
Yeah, make love with them. Sure,
but you don't bury the doll baby. Now, we're not talking about burying it. You need to bring the doll baby home and put it to bed. Let's say
that's a good idea. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, you can...
What
now,
if
you
it
know
was
you
your...
Make,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. You can make a doll baby that you put under the bed, you know, with magnolia leaves and demoniana and balm of Gilead and things like that that make a harmonious and passionate love, and put that under the mattress or put it under the bed. And you do the ritual with the doll, you know, in absentia. And then bring it home, and then put that under the bed.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you another question. So,
What
if this was to bury the past with someone who you were not sexually intimate with? Let's say it was we're talking relationships. So you're not going to be, excuse my language here, you're not going to be fucking the janitor at the office who threw out your beautiful teacup. But you got to make up somehow. Mm-hmm. What do you do then? Can you bury the past, but not no sex?
Right. Then I would say a good hug.
A good hug.
And a hug.
Good
and
meal.
Taking a hug.
Go out
to lunch. Go out to lunch, handshake and hug or something. You know, buy them dinner. But unless you and the janitor are on very good terms, and then maybe have a few drinks, and then never speak of it again.
The important thing, never speak of it again. I'm gonna write that in the chat room, because that's where people are gonna fall down.
You wake up the next morning with a janitor, and you look at each other and go, "Oh, we must never speak of this again." You know, that's...
I'm gonna tell you this reminds me a bit of a spell that was passed around through Usenet back in the 90s, which is at the Lucky Mojo Free Spells Archive, called Burying the Hatchet, and it came out of the alt.magic Usenet news group, and I don't know who came up with it first. It literally involved a hatchet, and you were to take a hatchet and I believe it had some sort of neo-pagan thing, because it mentioned ribbons. As soon as you see ribbons, you go Wicca, ribbons, Wicca. It's just kind of like them and their ribbons, you know. You were to put the people's names on it, and then you literally buried the hatchet and planted a tree on it. Now, this relates to the use of potted plants and trees as an analogous piece to a candle. In other words, instead of burning a candle on it, you literally planted a tree on it. It stayed in your yard, and the hatchet was buried under that tree. So,
one of the things I like about this is that if you do use fresh herbs, you know, like fenugreek will grow, lavender will grow. Many of these things will grow. So if you do rosemary, it will grow. So if you do this in your garden, roses, you can plant roses. If you plant rosebuds, they'll grow. You can grow something over the spot where you buried it. But
okay.
I wonder if you do want a reminder of it, because you really want to walk away from this. And I wouldn't want to use a hatchet with some of the people I've spoken with, because there have been some angry issues. I mean, we're talking about infidelity, and you know, infidelity is a terrible thing. It's so bad that God has two commandments against it. So this is a hurtful thing, and sometimes they're angry about it. So I wouldn't want to send them off in the woods or somewhere to plant, you know, with a shovel and an axe. You know, that's just not a good suggestion to give angry people.
All right. Well, we gotta bring this to a close. We gotta bring Miss Tammy Lee in. But thank you for giving us incredible suggestions here for some fantastic spells.
Great.
Yeah, it's really wonderful having you. Let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee and let her take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Thank you, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our very special guest member, the Association of Independent Roofers and Rootworkers, will be my friend, Ms. Aida, in Detroit, Michigan. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, joining you from chococoncrocho.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Bootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Mr. Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Good night,
all.
Oh, yeah.
Good night.
Bye-bye.